We begin our sixth year today. 6 years of coming together to celebrate each other's spiritual paths without hierarchy. That we gather today is ever so slightly auspicious because tomorrow night is Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. I have to admit, the fact that we humans have so many different New Years always brings a smile to my face. The Chinese New Year, the Roman New Year, adopted by Christianity as the New Year, the Islamic New Year, the Jewish New Year, and we've only just begun, as the Carpenters used to sing. Does anyone even remember the Carpenters? And it's intriguing to me that among the myriad of things that we cannot agree about, our differing traditions can't even agree on when the new year should begin. Every culture has its new year. Every culture has its reset button, if you will. And so does nature. It's called spring. Okay, last year, over. Let's begin again. And like nature, we need it. We need that reset. We need it. If it was a spectacular year, to remind us not to get caught up in our successes. And we need it if it was a particularly bad year, to allow us to say, oh, okay, new year, new start. But to move forward, I believe we need to do more than just acknowledge a new year and turn the page. Most, if not all, of our spiritual paths recognize that without forgiveness, there is no reset. Or as Desmond Tutu titled his book on South African reconciliation, No Future Without Forgiveness. For me, one of the great shadows over our future at this moment in history is all too often an almost willful absence of forgiveness. And concurrent with that, an almost willful absence of the willingness to admit to mistakes and sometimes misdeeds. The two unfortunately go together, unwillingness to forgive and unwillingness to admit mistakes. And both take us away from the sacred. The Sikhs tell us, where there is forgiveness, there is God himself, or herself. I rather like the Jain approach, subvert anger by forgiveness. But then I've always been gently subversive at heart. The Baha'i urge us not to look at the shortcomings of anybody, to see with the sight of forgiveness. There's a Buddhist saying that also calls to me, if we haven't forgiven, we keep creating an identity around our pain. And that is what is reborn. That is what suffers. There are many, many others, of course. But I'd like to move to Islam. The Quran of Islam teaches us, if you efface and overlook and forgive, then, lo, God is forgiving and merciful. For me, what is so fascinating is the tie between if we forgive and then God forgives. Again, if you efface and overlook and forgive, then, lo, God is forgiving and merciful. I was walking the other day with my good friend Chris Boyer, the minister here at Good Shepherd, and shared with him what I found to be a powerful part of the Lord's Prayer in Christianity. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It sounds so simple, but I don't think it is. It seems to me that it is inviting God to forgive us in the same manner in which we forgive others. Which, of course, means that if we are stingy and mean-spirited in our forgiveness of others, we are saying to God, go ahead and be stingy and mean-spirited in your forgiveness of me. Not something most of us are hoping for, at least I don't think so. But it draws the connection between how we treat others and how we should be treated. I see the Lord's Prayer as the golden rule, this time applied to forgiveness. Forgive others as you would be forgiven. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It tends to put a whole new face on it. God will treat us as we treat others. Yikes! Or as the Quran puts it, if you efface and overlook and forgive, then lo, God is forgiving and merciful. And of course, both Christianity and Islam get the idea from Judaism. In Judaism, the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are called the Days of Awe. We have, according to tradition, those 10 days to clear the air, to clean the slate, to ask for forgiveness, and to be forgiven. More about that shortly. But again, according to Jewish tradition, there's an angel that looks at what we do, how genuinely we've atoned, and how genuinely forgiving we are, and then decides if we've truly repented our transgressions, or, if you will, our trespasses, and then either inscribes for us in the book of life a good year to come or one that's not so good. The greeting in Judaism is L'shana tova tikasevu, or tikatevu, depending on whether your Hebrew is Ashkenazic or Sephardic, but we won't worry about that. This is the song we sang just a few moments ago. L'shana tova tikasevu. May you be inscribed for a good year. There's a lot behind that greeting. Because again, according to tradition, you will only be inscribed for a good year if you have sincerely asked for forgiveness and have also freely forgiven those who have genuinely asked you for forgiveness. L'shana tova is the typical greeting that Jews use whenever they see one another at this time of year. But now, as they say, you know the rest of the story. It's not so simple as hello or happy new year. I'll admit it, I wasn't a big fan of the high holy days as a child. I only attended Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur services because mom and dad said, "You're going." And as soon as I was beyond the clutches of mom and dad, I stopped going. It wasn't until years later that the importance, particularly of Yom Kippur, dawned on me. Perhaps that's because, well, a person needs a certain amount of living behind him or her before it dawns on them that forgiving is one of the things that makes living possible. That holding on to our grudges is embracing a poison. Most especially, it is the realization that we screw up. We're human. We all screw up. If there's no forgiveness, then there's no hope for any of us. But to ask for forgiveness when we know we've wronged someone, this can be hard. It can be humiliating. And to give forgiveness when we've been wronged can also be hard, sometimes excruciatingly so. But this is what we are asked to do, and it's why they are called the Days of Awe. And, of course, among those people we need to forgive, perhaps the hardest person to forgive, sincerely and truly forgive, can be ourselves. Not always, though. As one of my favorite teachers in seminary, Sister Alexandra Kovacs, was so very fond of pointing out, so much of life is a dance. I've known some people who forgive themselves far too much and far too easily. And I've known others who have lived such difficult lives because they never let themselves off the hook. As Sister Alexandra would say, it's a dance. We need to hold ourselves accountable. When we screw up, we need to admit it, both to ourselves and to others, particularly those that we have hurt. We need to see what we have done and firmly resolve to do our human best not to repeat it. But if we do this, then Jewish tradition tells us not only that we may, but that we must forgive. Truly, sincerely, wholeheartedly, even and especially if the one that we must forgive is ourselves. That then is Rosh Hashanah and the 10 days of awe that follow. After those 10 days comes Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. And since we won't be celebrating that here, I'd like us to do a flash forward and in a moment participate jointly in a Yom Kippur ritual. Behind the ritual is this idea that the community is one, that we are our brothers and sisters' keepers, that as a community, we can do well. And as a community, we can screw up. This ritual recitation is spoken by the whole of the community because we realize, recognize, and celebrate that we are all interconnected. If you're hearing this in a podcast, please go to our website for this responsive reading. You'll find it there after the sermon. Amen.